Warning: The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
You have a great singing voice.
Yes.
Yes. Why don't we end this interview on a very happy note? Would you sing a little something for me?
Only because it's you. I won't do this for anybody.
I'm deeply moved.
And I never miss an opportunity to express my faith. Mm. Are you ready?
Yeah.
God help us.
Amazing grace.
Oh, God help us.
Will always be.
Oh, Herman, God.
My song of praise.
Herman, please.
For it was grace.
Herman, it's not too late
that
to take the cloth. Herman.
I'll never know.
Barbara Walters and Herman Cain.
Jesus came.
Okay, please. All right, stop. Welcome to the Savage Nation. We finally found Herman Cain. And there he was. I'm speechless. I'm just speechless. Welcome to the program. Tonight, of course, is a big debate again. Again, the Republicans continue to commit hara-kiri, attacking each other, cutting out each other's legs, until eventually there's nothing but bloody stumps left on the stage. While Obama's ratings soar, theirs decline. Now, we looked into why Republicans have so many primaries. There's almost no answer for it, because it's not constitutional. This is something created by the Republican Party, I suppose, to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory hundreds of years ago. They always knew they might be the superior party, and after all, you can't rule forever. It's like having a 10 share in radio. No one can have a 10 share in radio forever, or even a 20 share. Eventually, your shares go up and down because there's room for others, not the Republicans. They realized they were the better party, so they set it up that they'd fail every few years by continuously debating and chopping each other's legs off. Nevertheless, I can't control that. They're going to do it again tonight. It makes me cringe to see them doing it, because each one of them would be, to me, a better president than what we have in the White House now. And there are many stories we have to talk about, including the continuous erosion of the constitutional protections afforded us by the U.S. Constitution. What worries me the most is that Obama demanded that the indefinite detention of American citizens in Gitmo apply to U.S. citizens. Now, here's a president who apparently liberals love, the ACLU loves, but here is a president who now has the power to detain you, the listener, without trial in Gitmo. Without trial. Americans in Gitmo. And Obama himself demanded this power, that it apply to U.S. citizens. Not one peep out of the ACLU. So what can I tell you? A trickle-down tyranny? A trickle-down tyranny? Anyone understand? How does this happen? Now, the thing about the drone in Iran, I want you to follow my thinking and tell me if I'm right or wrong. Iran is saying that they hacked and hijacked the U.S. drone. Now, I'm going to ask you a question to go along with that. Iran says that they hacked and then hijacked the U.S. drone, which they have. Iran hijacked U.S. drone, says Iranian engineer. An exclusive interview with the Christian Science Monitor, an engineer working to unlock the secrets of the captured RQ-170 Sentinel, says they exploited a known vulnerability and tricked the U.S. drone into landing in Iran. Let me ask you a question, all of you out there, you doubting Thomases. Why would Iran give an interview like this unless it was meant to throw us off the track of how they actually got the drone? Why would the enemy of the United States, Iran, go out of their way to go to a left-wing newspaper like the Christian Science Monitor and tell the whole world that they hacked the U.S. drone and that's how they got it intact, when they're just covering for the spy inside the Air Force? In other words, if you were the Iranians and you had an agent inside the drone operations of the CIA or the U.S. Air Force, would you jump up and boast we got the drone because of a spy? No, of course not. What you do is you give an interview saying that you exploited a known vulnerability and tricked the U.S. drone into landing in Iran. I don't believe a word of it. In fact, my suspicions are stronger today than they were last week. I believe that the government has failed to investigate its own drone program. I believe there's a very high likelihood that Iran has placed a double agent inside the U.S. Air Force or inside the CIA itself who gave the drone to the Iranians on a silver cloud. What do you think? You think I'm right? Rasmussen, Polshocker, Gingrich tanks in Iowa. Romney up, Gingrich down. I don't care. Leave me alone. What country do I live in? When can I vote? May I please vote? When do I vote in America? How many primaries can I sit through until I don't even want to vote anymore? If you care to comment on any of these topics, you're sicker than I am. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. I mean just what I just said. If you care to comment on any of these topics, you're sicker than I am of the lies that are being promulgated domestically and internationally. Do you agree with me that by Iran coming out and giving an interview immediately, saying that they were able to get the drone because they exploited a known vulnerability and hijacked the drone, that they're covering up for the double agent they must have inside the CIA? Doesn't it make sense? I mean, if I were working for the government, that's the thesis I would be using. Say, wait a minute, our enemy's giving an interview on how they got the drone, and it's all about they tapped into it, hijacked it? Nonsense, I say. Now, please, if you're just going to call me about meatball recipes, don't bother. Or about olive oil, don't bother. I'm not going to talk about it. Nor death and dying, I'm not going to talk about it. We're going to talk about this right now. And we're going to talk about Obama's seizing more power than the Constitution permits any chief executive to have. I'm sorry. And if you think that I'm making this up and you think this isn't important and you think you couldn't be detained, you're wrong. I want you to listen very carefully to McCain, Levin, and Graham on granting all this special power to the president where he can arrest you as an American citizen and throw you into a cell in Guantanamo so long as they say you're helping al-Qaeda. But let me come up with some proposals, some ideas here. Okay, certainly we want anyone who wants to help al-Qaeda to be arrested before they hurt us. We all agree on that, right? Here's the question. What if a government operative, meaning someone working for the State Department, says, you have a website, and on that website you have an article which seems to help al-Qaeda, therefore the men in the black suits are coming for you, and without any advance warning, they're going to arrest you. They're going to take you off the streets, bundle you up, put you on a plane, and fly you to Gitmo because you have a website that was not sufficiently anti-al-Qaeda for their taste. No trial, no chance to meet your accusers, no trial, no defense, nothing. Is that what you want your president to have? Well, then you don't live in America, my friends. 1-800-449-8255. New York City. Tom, what do you think about the drone story? Am I right or wrong?
Hey, Michael, blessed Christmas to you and your family. Michael, I think you're on target, and I think Ahmadinejad is trying to take false credit for a little payback on the Stuxnet virus. But I think the bigger problem is the...
But wait. How did they get the drone is what I'm asking.
I would agree with you, Michael. It's probably a spy job. I don't think they have the technology on their own to take down one of them.
All right. So if you and I, as average citizens, are starting to suspect Iran was given the drone because there is a double agent inside the CIA or the U.S. Air Force, why is the government not investigating this?
Well, because the problem might be bigger than they can handle, Michael.
The answer is because it would make Obama look incompetent. And it's an election year, and we can't have that, can we? Again, another caller out of New York. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. WOR calls. Dan, you're up next on the Savage Nation. Your opinion, please.
Dr. Savage, as always, you're right on the money. Obviously, it's an inside job. And yes, Mr. Obama, it would be embarrassed. You'd be ashamed if it were to come out.
Well, we don't know whether it was an inside job, but it's very odd to me that Iran, a Revolutionary Guard engineer, would give an interview to the left-wing Christian Science monitor saying, oh, yes, here's how we got the drone. We hijacked the drone. We unlocked the secrets of it. We hijacked it. Why would they go out of the way to tell us that unless they were throwing us off the track of who really did it or how it was really done, rather?
he wouldn't want to conduct an investigation for precisely that point.
Why is there no congressional oversight? I'll tell you the answer. Because the chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee is Dianne Feinstein. Take a look at who's on that. Take a look at who's on our defense appropriations committees and on our Senate Arms Committee. If you take a look at them, you'll understand why our enemies are laughing at us and why they're able to basically get away with anything they want to get away with. It's a nightmare when you look at this. For the Iranians to say that they were able to cut off communication links of the American Batwing RQ-170 Sentinel and then take it into Iran and land it without damaging it tells me they're lying and they're covering for the fact that the U.S. drone was sent to them on a silver cloud. I'll be right back.
Savage.
And to those American citizens thinking about helping Al-Qaeda, please know what will come your way. Death, detention, prosecution. And when they say, I want my lawyer, you tell them, shut up.
Your time has expired.
Get a lawyer. You're an enemy combatant, and we're going to talk to you about why you joined Al-Qaeda.
Yeah, that's what America's come down to. Both liberals and Republicans now are saying, if you're an American citizen and we determine you're helping Al-Qaeda, you have no rights. Your constitutional rights go up in air. Now, where is Obama on this? I mean, he's a progressive, isn't he? Well, he's with them on it. He demanded that power. So it could be me. It could be you. They could say you're helping Al-Qaeda by not attacking Al-Qaeda. They could say you're helping Al-Qaeda by running an article on your website that's not anti-Al-Qaeda enough for some functionary in the government. Therefore, the men in the black suits are coming for you. What do you want to live in Argentina? You want to live in Argentina from 30 years ago? Is that the country that has evolved under this nightmarish regime that we're suffering through? Somebody's got to say something. And now we see the drone has gone down into Iran, and they're claiming in Iran that they hijacked the U.S. drone. And I'm asking, why would they go out of their way to tell us they hijacked the drone unless they're trying to throw smoke in our eyes because they were given the drone by a spy? At least that's a reasonable premise. You ask any woman or man in counterintelligence if I'm wrong. Anybody worth their salt would think the way I do. I'm not trying to be intelligently more than anybody else. In other words, more intelligent than the next person. And then on another topic, the Iowa caucuses. This is crazy. They're nothing but neighborhood meetings at which participants voice their preferences. They're just neighborhood meetings. And yet the media is making the Iowa caucus, the New Hampshire caucus, into the equivalent of a super election. I've never seen anything like this. And the Iowa caucuses have been the first step in the presidential nominating process only since 1972. 1972. Can you believe this? And because of the media's need to fill up airspace, they're turning these caucuses into mini mandates on who's going to be the next president when they may have nothing to do with who's going to be the next president. And frankly, I as a citizen resent it. I want to know why I'm locked out of the caucuses. How about you? Portland, Oregon, Harley, you're on the Savage Nation. Which topic, please?
Yeah, Mike, the reason that I think that you're incorrect is because this goes beyond. What about the Seychelles? We just lost the second one there.
I understand. I said that yesterday. So what is your point?
Well, the point is you don't lose two drones. I know that you think it's an inside spy. It's not an inside spy. This is global. This is something bigger. We're giving these things away. We're trading technology, just like L'Oreal. You've talked about that, too.
What do you mean? They're delivering the drones to these people? So that's a spy, isn't it?
Well, where do you think the one that went down in the Seychelles went?
But wait a minute. Let's go back to my suspicion. Let's say there's a double agent inside the CIA who was operating the drones, and he sent it to Iran. What would he or she do next? Why, he would make another drone go down a week later somewhere in a neutral area to make believe it's all been an accident, wouldn't he?
Obvious, there's
no, take my scenario. I mean, I can think pretty clearly. If you were a spy, if you were a double agent, and you were afraid of being caught after the drone was delivered to Iran, what would you do next? You would send another drone down, but this time it wouldn't go to an enemy. It would go to a neutral area, down in a neutral area. So you could say, whoops, I guess we're having technical problems, Harley, wouldn't you?
Well, You know, I
see, nobody can think as good as I can in or out of the government. There may be more clever people, more dangerous people, more devious people. Certainly, there's no question they're more devious than I am, because I can only think straightforward. I can't think, but I can tell you the truth. It doesn't take that much intelligence to figure out what I just said is right. Well, that's all. 1-800-449 New York, WOR Sheldon. You think Iran could have hacked the drone? Sheldon, go ahead. You're on the Savage.
Excuse me. I think it's entirely possible that Iran has the technology to take us down, because we do.
Well, of course, it's possible. Of course, it is possible. But what raises my suspicion that they're lying is that shortly after getting the drone, an engineer for the Revolutionary Guard, an extremely secretive group, comes out and gives an interview with the Christian Science Monitor saying that we unlocked the secrets, we exploited a known vulnerability and tricked the U.S. drone into landing in Iran. Why would they tell us that?
Because they think they are so little, they need to make people think that they're big. It's not uncommon for this to happen with people who are less than they want to be. But my real question is, doesn't that thing have an automatic destruction button?
It theoretically should. It's supposed to have a fail-safe kill switch, yes, according to what I've read. Why didn't it go off?
I was watching on TV the three guys...
All right, so you're answering... Wait a minute. You're following the same logic I've been using. You just answered your own question. The spy sends it to Iran and doesn't blow it up. Case closed.
For these three guys to be showing it to the world and for it to explode on TV. That's what I was waiting for.
Yeah, me too. It'd be nice if there was a nuclear warhead in it and they were showing it off and it went off. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, but we can't be that lucky.
No. Okay, at least we see things the same way. Unfortunately, we don't work for the government. We're only the people. I think they're doing misinformation. I think the Iranian Revolutionary Guard is throwing out disinformation to cover their tracks. I would say that my suspicions are only suspicions, because I have no way of certainly proving or disproving this. But if there was any kind of counterintelligence worth its salt within the CIA, they would be absolutely on this theory that I have. Why is it that I, a talk show host, have to even talk about it when our Congress seems to be a shell of its former self?
Savage.
If only I could believe in Rudolph and Santa Claus and Mickey Mouse and Snow White. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. If only I could believe that men and women of honorable characters were inside all corridors of power. Oh boy, would it be a perfect world. If only I could believe. Yeah, if only, if only, if only. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Strange times that we are living in. No matter whether you're listening to me in New York City or Los Angeles, somewhere on the web, God knows. I mean, we're talking about a very serious issue now. Our most top secret weapon, a drone, RQ-170 Sentinel, is delivered to Iran on a silver platter without so much as a microchip damaged. Iran says that they did this because they were able to exploit a known vulnerability and trick the U.S. drone into landing in Iran. It immediately sets off shockwaves in my mind. I say, wait a minute, why would the Revolutionary Guard go out of its way to go to a left-wing newspaper, the Christian Science Monitor in America, and tell the world that they hijacked the U.S. drone, unless it was to throw us off the track of a double agent inside the CIA who gave it to them? At least I'm thinking that way. Then we're talking about your President Obama, a constitutional lawyer, demanding powers that are way beyond that granted to the executive in the U.S. Constitution, the right to arrest any American on American soil who they deem to have been aiding and abetting Al-Qaeda. I mean, we all want to stop them before they set off a bomb. We agree to that. But does that mean that they should interpret what aiding Al-Qaeda means? What does that mean? What does that mean? I mean, maybe this is where I, a right-winger, so to speak, agree with a so-called left-winger. I mean, what's a right and a left-winger when it comes to individual freedom? Explain that to me. New York, David, you're on the Savage Nation from the only station in New York that matters, WOR. Go ahead, please.
Yes,
I think it is despicable, the extension of the Patriot Act to include American citizens. But what's more troubling is that there are neoconservatives on the Republican side who are also lobbying for this. I heard a couple of them on the radio today.
But wait, sir, you don't understand. It passed already. And Obama demanded that power. It was both McCain, Graham, and your man Levin, a left-winger from Michigan, who wanted this done. You know,
what bothers me about it is that Levin, Carl Levin, and Dianne Feinstein, and almost all the people on the National Security Council and Homeland Security Council in Congress are Jewish. How is it that Jews control
I know. Okay, you're the same caller who every conspiracy leads back to Jews. I mean, give it up already. I mean, give it up already. McCain is also a Jew now?
Jews don't serve in the U.S. military. You can Google it.
Wait, I'm saying, so John McCain is now Jewish?
No, he's not the chairman of the committee. The chairmen of almost all the congressional committees are all, when
yeah,
it's
right.
National security or homeland
right,
security
right.
is always
is it
Jewish.
True? Is it true that in your mind Jews are poisoning Christian children somewhere in your neighborhood?
No, they're not serving in the U.S. military.
I just asked you, are Jews poisoning children in your neighborhood as well with some secret matzah broth?
Yeah, the media, yes. The media is psychologically poisoning the children's minds.
I see. So Chris Matthews is a Jew now?
Chris Matthews is not the CEO of one of the major mass media companies.
And Al Sharpton is now Jewish, is that correct?
Jews control the mass media in this country.
I see. And I see. So all of the mass media. I've heard this before. It's very intriguing. It really is very intriguing to think that the Jews control everything. It really is. And that even people who are not Jewish are Jewish. It's exactly what the Nazis said, by the way. Do you have any idea what you're saying, David?
What bothers me
In other words, if everything wrong in the world is caused by Jews, which is statistically impossible, that means that you're a madman, if you believe that.
That the U.S. Congress...
I know what you're saying. Your mind is so warped. Look, David, I don't know how rational you are, and there's no need of us insulting each other and arguing about this. You're obviously a very warped individual, but do you know what the word prejudice means?
And you also know what the word excessive influence means.
David, do you know what the word prejudice means? Do you know what it derives from?
Yes, I do.
David, what does prejudice mean?
Discriminating attitude, possibly toward people or religions or races.
You're way off. It means to prejudge, prejudice to prejudge. So, are you of a minority status yourself?
Yes, I am, and my father's Jewish, so I know what I'm talking about.
So you have self-hatred the way Hitler did.
Well,
you hated your father, so everything bad is Jewish.
What?
I'm trying to help you, David. You're prejudging and you're seeing everything through a very narrow lens where everything evil is seen through the eyes of your hatred for your father. It can't be true. David, is there anything that a Jew does that's good?
Yes, there are. Some of them are generous with the money that they steal. They donate some of the stolen money.
So in other words, all Jews steal their money? No one makes their money?
Look at Wall Street. Wall Street.
David, stop it. All Jews steal the money that they have?
And the Talmud, the sacred writings of the Jews, they have permission to rob Christians.
David, please, you don't know what the hell you're talking about. Have you ever read the Torah? What are you talking about? You sound like just an ignorant idiot with an axe in your hand looking to cut off someone's head because you're a man who is filled with such bile towards your father that you'd kill anybody who reminds you of your father. What did your father do to you?
Oh, my father was a good person. The fact
you just said your father was Jewish and you hated him.
No, I didn't say I hated him. I have inside understanding of the Jewish mindset in America.
So your father was an evil man who did evil things to people? He stole money from everybody and manipulated the world? Your father did this?
He was part of that network. There is a network.
Oh, there was a network. Where does this network exist?
It's called collusion, Jewish businessmen collusion.
How high up did your father go in the food chain of conspiracy?
He was the CEO of a furniture company.
In that little furniture company, the Jews came in, and with a secret handshake, they had meetings on how to control the media and the world?
They colluded with each other to freeze out the Gentiles, the non-Jews.
In that little furniture company that your father owned, all this went on, and you witnessed all of this?
Witnessed to it, and I have it documented. And
do you have a video that we could possibly release on YouTube of your father conspiring with other powerful furniture manufacturers to control the entire world? Was Soros in any of these meetings?
You could Google. You could YouTube.
No, I mean, did Carl Levin appear? And Dianne Feinstein and Barbara Boxer and Soros, did they appear in your father's furniture store in the dark of night, perhaps on a chilly Christmas evening when the Goyim weren't looking, to conspire how to take over the world?
Well, those people you mentioned, their patriotism is as thick as a pancake. They don't serve in the U.S. military. Why won't?
Wait, hold it now. Wait a minute. But you're telling me that all Christians are patriotic?
We serve in the military. We volunteer in the U.S. military.
All Christians serve in the military. And all Christians are patriotic and all Jews are not patriotic. Is that what you're saying?
Christians are three times
David, 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 please. You're a very sick man. And, you know, you obviously have done nothing with your life. You're obviously a shut-in. And you're somehow anguished over what your father was or wasn't. And you're reflecting on him so deeply in such a negative way. Didn't your father do anything good for anybody?
Gave birth to a prophet, me. Well, having said that,
so in other words, are you Jesus? Are you a reincarnation of Jesus?
No, I have the Holy Spirit of Jesus, and it's telling me to speak the truth, to protect.
I see. Now, in your daily life, are you a furniture maker by day and a prophet by night, or are you a prophet by day and a furniture maker by night? What do you actually do?
I'm a retired carpenter.
I knew it, you see. I knew that you were involved in furniture, like Jesus the prophet himself. Is that why you were in the carpentry business?
Well, it was a family occupation.
Do you have children?
Everything I say is true.
David, do you have children?
Yes, I do.
I'm trying to throw you a lifeline, David, before it's too late.
Well, they're not involved. But the fact.
All right, David. Thank you. It's very sad when you hear a voice like this. You know the man's deranged. It's frightening. We're trying to have a decent conversation now. It goes into all the Jews. The Jews did it. So McCain is Jewish. It's unbelievable. All right, here we go back. All right. So let's now go to all of the evil people in the world. Let's hear John McCain now, honorary Semite, on the Savage Nation.
I think that as long as that individual, no matter who they are, if they pose a threat to the security of the United States of America, should not be allowed to continue that threat. And I think that's the majority of American public opinion, especially in light of the facts that I continue to repeat to the senator from Kentucky. 27% of detainees who were released got back in the fight and were responsible for the deaths of Americans. We need to take every step necessary to prevent that from happening. That's for the safety and security of the men and women who are out there putting their lives on the line in our armed services.
Well, the best thing, John, would be to lock up every grandmother over the age of 80 with a leg brace, because that way you'll know that they can't aid and abet al-Qaeda at airports. And that's what you should direct the TSA to do under Joe Pistone, which is make sure that Muslims are never frisked, because that might abridge their civil rights. But you take an Irish nun, strip her down in a back room, and make sure she's not hiding anything under her habit that might aid or abet al-Qaeda. And any other grandmotherly type, especially the ones over 90, who are frail and shaky, they may be the real spies. I mean, you're starting to sound just like the guy who just called me, where he sees Jews in a conspiracy against everything. You now think every American is a potential enemy, and the only people who are not enemies are members of Congress. So other than the 400 members of Congress, everyone else maybe should be arrested. Perhaps all of America should be put under house arrest. Well, at least ankle bracelets for the rest of us, with beepers that the government can control through a supercomputer. And the 400 members of Congress, the mandarins, in other words, the mandarins in Congress, the 400 members who control the rest of us like bees in a hive, like ants in a hive, like butterflies in a nest. The 400 don't have ankle bracelets. They walk around, fly around with impunity like free animals. And the rest of us are all suspect. That's the world. That's the brave new world of John McCain. I rest my case. We have moved into a darkness in this country that you progressives have brought us to, because it was your president, Barack Obama, who demanded this power unto himself. Why is there no outcry from the ACLU? Answer. You can figure it out. I'll be right back.
Savage. E-hop.
It is the Savage Nation.
I don't go for falsetto, so let's not use that. Break that record, break that CD, whatever. I don't like falsetto in any category, Christmas music or otherwise. So, look, we're talking about a very serious topic, the drone. I mean, I made my point. If I were in charge, I would demand an immediate investigation of the CIA's drone operations, if they were doing it, or the Air Force, whoever, and I would get to the bottom of it. It doesn't seem to me the Iranians could have hacked into the drone and taken control and brought it in like that. Something is so wrong with this picture. And I brought this up a week ago Monday. A guy called me and cursed me, called me every name under the sun, said I'm an idiot, they can't reverse engineer it. How dare you say it? I said, oh, nonsense. I said, with this administration's obsession with diversity uber alles, it's absolutely likely that they put an Iranian spy in there. Probably went out of their way. I mean, look what they just invited in the White House, a former member of the Iranian Revolutionary Guards involved with the extermination of U.S. Marines at the barracks in Lebanon. He's now an honored guest in the White House? Which team are they playing for? What actually has to happen until you start asking the questions that most Americans with an IQ above 100 are asking? What actually has to happen? Is this incompetence or is it something far worse? You know, either way, it's pretty bad. And that's why I say virtually any Republican would be better than this administration on virtually any level. I'm very uncomfortable with what's going on. You've got the Justice Department now going after Sheriff Arpaio for doing the evil of protecting his state from the invasion of illegal aliens. They're making him into a criminal. The sheriff who does the best job of controlling the swarm of illegals in his city is now under indictment or investigation by the Justice Department in order to intimidate him. It's frightening. Everywhere you turn, there's another slap to the face of freedom and patriotism. Look at the lead story on my website, michaelsavage.com. Dems turn viciously anti-Semitic and Jews still vote Democrat? Now, what am I talking about? You have to read this article, because there are odious charges leveled against Jews that have been around since the protocols of the Elders of Zion, and they're coming from so-called progressive Democrats who sound increasingly like that lunatic caller Dave that we just had. That's your progressive party. How could a Jew ever vote for a Democrat, seeing what they become? Let's go back to a bigger topic, which is the drone story. Fresno, California. Lou, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Mike, I just wanted to say that guy that called the other day was a complete flaming idiot. He has no clue what he's talking about, and I really don't even believe he makes robots. I'm former military, working with communications, and I had a secret clearance, and this was mid to late 70s. And I can assure you, Mike, that if our military gets a hold of any hardware, it could be reversed engineer, and we all know the Chinese are massive.
So another, yeah, and I, as a non-engineer, but said that they could easily reverse engineer it once they were given it, and the guy said, I'm crazy, they couldn't do it. I was able to figure it out because it's just common sense that that could be done. See, you were in the military intelligence when America was still in the hands of patriots and we could sleep better at night. Right now, let me add, do you actually sleep well at night knowing that the Obama administration is running all of these agencies?
Absolutely not, and I think that he's infiltrated all these departments in such a way that he's really keeping patriots that work in these departments down and eliminating
them.
That's
right, exactly. They've eliminated them, attacked them, marginalized them, intimidated them, the way they're doing it to Sheriff Arpaio. This is a thuggish, dangerous administration that seems to be working against the best interests of the United States in so many areas. And if I were the only one saying it, I would be a lunatic. I'm not the only one, Lou. I am not the only one who is afraid of this government. In all my years, I never feared a government the way I do now. Why is that? What have I done that I should fear this government? What have I done? I write books. I have a talk show. I don't do anything that is even remotely illegal. I don't even pass a red light. And yet I fear this government. Why is that, Lou?
Because people fell asleep at the wheel. People became too complacent here. And that's why we're going through what's going on right now. But this is just as blatant as that Chinese missile that was shot off the Pacific Coast last year. I mean, it's common fact now that it was a Chinese missile, but the media never reported it. They mum's the word even after the fact, and they came out that it was a Chinese sub that fired the missile off the Pacific coast. Mum's the word.
Lou, how does this end? If you were in intelligence, how does this game end? Do we get saved at the last minute by a Republican sweep, and all of the left wingers are thrown out, and then they're investigated and arrested for crimes against America? Does that ever happen?
Mike, I'm not as optimistic as you are. I know we're full of a lot of patriots, but this president that's in is like a cancer, and the cancer already got in under the skin, and unfortunately the cancer has grown to keep his issues.
Oh, God. Right now. Oh, boy, you're an oncologist that's more pessimistic than I am. But Lou, I'm going to send you a copy of Abuse of Power. If you haven't read it, you're in for a great ride. My best-selling novel, a great Christmas present, by the way, for all of you out there thinking about a last-minute present. You got 2 weeks to actually review a free chapter on my website and then buy the darn book already. Buy it already, for God's sakes. Lou, it's awful, Lou. It's awful. But again, you know, what can I tell you? We got other callers on many other topics. Steve in Sacramento on a totally other topic. Fire away. Just tell us what you're going to say.
Dr. Savage, I want to thank you for a great gift you've given to me. I've listened to you over the years talk about Teddy and your small dogs, and I've always had big dogs, and I never even consider having a small dog. But because of you, I got one. And I got to tell you, he is the love of my life. This guy,
what kind of breed is he? What's the breed?
He's a Chihuahua.
Why do so many men now like small dogs? I have an answer for you, Steve. Because there's no kindness left in the world. The women have all become mean, and they become competitive to an extent where you don't know where to turn for something soft and cuddly. And if you're past the age of raising a little infant, why, there's nothing better than a small dog.
Oh, you're so right. You're so right.
I am. I know. I see big guys in parking lots with little dogs that they cherish. Monsters with little dogs.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Music to attract the Ediths of the world. We don't want to scare them about drones. Hi, everybody. It's FM Bob Savage. And we want to have you enjoy the holidays by not exciting you with anything. Can we play some music? Otherwise, it doesn't work at all. I'll forget about it. It's over. There's no joke anymore. It's finished. Bad. Dead. So we've been talking about the drone. I know it's boring. I'm droning on and on about the drone, and you don't care. All you care about is, you know, this and that and presents. I don't blame you and your pimples, your daughter's soccer match and this and that. Who's going to judge a talent show on television? The guy with the wig now, the balloon man, is now a judge on a talent show. That's more important. How could this guy be that age and not have a wig? How come no one ever talks about Howard Stern's wig? I really want to ask you, that's probably more important to the average American than the drone. Which is, where does Howard Stern get a wig from? How could a Jewish guy that age not be bald, number one? Did he work in a furniture store? Do you think Howard Stern worked in a furniture store as a child? And then he was part of the conspiracy, the Illuminati that were talking to David's father in the furniture store? I'm just rambling on because I can't believe that, again, Iowa. A few thousand people are voting, and I'm sitting here like on the moon. I feel like I'm in another country. A caucus of neighborhoods in Iowa is going to tell me who I should vote for on the Republican ticket. Can you believe this? a few hundred thousand Iowans dictate my candidate for me, and the caucuses in Iowa have only been the first step in the presidential nomination process since 1972. The first candidate to use the caucuses to gain national exposure was George McGovern in 1972. This isn't, you know, many of you don't know, this was not in the Constitution. There's an Iowa caucus and then a New Hampshire caucus. It's a recent testing ground. And by the way, from 1984 to 1996, the winners in Iowa did not go on to win their party's nomination. Did not go on. So why are we paying attention to what these wonderful people in Iowa have to say? I don't think... Why don't they ask me? Why don't they do a caucus of talk show hosts? How about a history of the radio talk show caucus? Have the top 50 talk show hosts in America, national and local, or the top 100, do a caucus. Why don't they do that? Why doesn't Talkers Magazine do a caucus of talk show hosts? After all, we have our ears to the ground more so than do most other folks in the world, in the American media landscape. Since 1972, no candidate that has finished worse than third in Iowa has gone on to win a major party presidential nomination. I can't even read any of this. You know, yesterday was my mother's memorial, and I drank too much and I have a hangover. Then before the show, I had too much coffee and too much chocolate, which I eat twice a year, and then I get sick from the chocolate. But I am paying attention to the Iowa caucuses. Trust me, I'm doing my job. But what's a bigger story to me than a group of folks who are, let's say, too well-fed and what they think about who the Republican nominee should be is the fact that the Obama administration has sent a drone to Iran, either on purpose or by accident. In either case, it's a major league story. Iran comes out, and an engineer for the Iran Revolutionary Guards, perhaps our most dire enemy, gives an interview with the Christian Science Monitor, a far-left newspaper, everyone knows that, in which they tell us that they hacked and hijacked the U.S. drone, which indicated to me that they're lying. This is disinformation in order to throw us off the track of the double agent. At least that's what I would be investigating. The FBI, the CIA, the Defense Intelligence, whatever they have, Office of So-Called Naval Intelligence, probably working our way to get a good cup of coffee right now and to see what their pensions look like and make sure no one's going to call them up on charges of being disloyal to the God of diversity. Instead of looking into the possibility that there's a double agent. Then we have the bill that Obama demanded apply to U.S. citizens that he can indefinitely detain any U.S. citizen without a trial. Frightening. Even Al Jazeera has written an article saying, how did we get here? Even Al Jazeera wrote an article saying, detaining U.S. citizens, how did we get here? The U.S. Senate is pushing to give the military the option of indefinitely detaining U.S. citizens without trial, and Obama's behind it. The executive branch wants this. A new U.S. law will declare the world a battlefield. That even means a furniture store in Brooklyn. A new U.S. law will declare the world a battlefield, making virtually anyone vulnerable to indefinite military detention. So if you're in a furniture store with your father, conspiring to take over the world, and you inadvertently, somehow, are not sufficiently anti-terrorist, you could be, I guess, thrown into, maybe you always wanted to live in a tropical paradise. It is Cuba, after all. Guantanamo is Cuba. I mean, if you always wanted to retire to a tropical paradise, where you get three or four religious meals a day, exercise yards, television, workouts, psychological training, lots of friends, there's nothing like Guantanamo. Just think about that. Might not be a bad place to go if you're unemployed. So all you got to do is say that you love Al-Qaeda. The next thing you know, you'll be snatched off the street and sent to Cuba. Not so bad. Would that be bad, living in Cuba? I don't like the tropics myself. But maybe you want to retire in the tropics. Three, four meals a day, legal help, medical help, good dental care down there. They fly in good dentists from Miami. Imagine what they charge the U.S. government for filling a dentist from Miami, that the U.S. government flies to Guantanamo to work on our worst enemies in Guantanamo. How much do they charge per filling and per aspirin in Guantanamo? 1-800-449. We're also talking about big men with little dogs. A man called and said, thank you for telling me about Teddy. Teddy is like the greatest. I'm sorry to tell you, I'm almost ashamed to admit it. I love Teddy. I love him. It's frightening to love a dog. It's actually, is it abnormal? abnormal, or some word in America today. Is it abnormal? You hear? What a question I even asked. Now that's abnormal, to ask if it's abnormal, because nothing's abnormal in America. The only abnormality in America is to be too normal. That's the abnormality. If you're a normopath, you need to be medicated. That means that there's something really wrong with you if you're a normopath. You know, you ever hear the word normopath? I first learned it in the late 60s. I thought it was very clever. A professor friend of mine laughed. He said, oh, he's a normopath. I didn't even know the word existed, but normopathology is very, very interesting. Those are people who tread the middle line so carefully because they're afraid of being considered abnormal that they're normopaths. Very interesting. I don't know why I'm even telling you about it. You think it matters? What matters is the drones and little dogs. Pennsylvania, Alan, thank you. You're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
I just want to say I hear you go on 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, and I don't get to hear you live, so I tried calling earlier. I wanted to say that it's a tremendous honor, Dr. Savage, to speak to you.
That's very nice.
I drive a limousine at night, and if it wasn't for you, I just don't know what I'd do at night. But I just want to say you're like a prophet. I don't have the words. Usually I have the words to describe my feelings, but this time I don't.
I appreciate it. It's when I did my mother's memorial. I know what you're saying. I mean, it touched a lot of men who don't have the ability to express themselves anywhere at all, let alone about the death of a mother. Alan, what station do you listen to me on at 9 o'clock in Pennsylvania? What station?
WAEB.
Where is that?
790 AM. WAEB, 790 AM.
Coming out of which city?
Allentown.
Oh, it's a small... I know Allentown well. I had relatives in the area. I remember the Eastern Allentown football games and things like that. Still going on, huh?
I'm your relative now in Allentown.
You are? Alan, are you a real relative?
No, I just consider you family.
No. I do. I have such fond memories of that part of Pennsylvania. To me, that was always the best part of my life, taking the railroad from the Penn Station with my mother. My father had to work 7 days a week. She'd take us out of school on a Wednesday before Thanksgiving. Oh, it was so exciting. And the train into Pennsylvania and the relatives and the turkey. And what great memories, Alan. Anyway, Alan, let me send you a present, Abuse of Power. You'll enjoy it for the holidays, and you'll have your friend Michael to read. You'll see a lot of me in some of the characters and a lot that isn't me. It's called fiction. Florida, John. What's the topic, John? What's on your mind?
Hey, Dr. Savage, I'm 250, I'm benching 300 pounds, I'm a single man, divorced, and I got a Chihuahua Pomeranian.
Yes, yes. Explain, John, why did you get a little dog? In other words, a big guy like you, you'd think would have like a monster, like a Bernese mountain dog, right?
Yeah, well, it's actually I got it through my ex-girlfriend about 9 years ago, and we split up, and then I got the dog, and... people just laugh at me walking my dog being...
I love it. Well, hey, John, what part of Florida are you in?
Well, I'm actually in Lantana, it's called. It's right off of High Palazzo in Congress. It's just like West Palm and Palm Beach County.
Yeah, I know the area. Near Lake Worth, right?
Exactly. I'm actually Lake Worth zip code.
I know exactly where it is. So when you walk with it, a big guy like you, 250 pounds... you bench 300 and you have a Chihuahua, you get a lot of looks?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And she's got the curly tail and everything. And I just love my little dog. She snuggles
John,
up.
John, I want to ask you something without trying to make a mockery of the reality of guys and little dogs. Truthfully, the dog sleeps in bed with you, right?
Oh, absolutely. And
See, John, it takes a big man to admit that.
If she sleeps in the living room like she did last night, I had to go in the middle of the night and go get her off the couch and bring her into bed with me.
Oh, that's funny. So, in other words, when she was on the couch, you went and got her.
I went and got her.
No, that's cute. But, you know, hey, are you worried about rolling over and killing her?
No, she's pretty good. I'm visually impaired. I'm almost blind. I'm legally blind. And you got to see when I walk around. She knows to get away from me.
Oh, my God. It's funny. Teddy also will only sleep at my feet at the far corner of the bed. He never, ever comes near the trunk of the body.
Exactly.
They're very smart. I mean, they have great survival instincts.
Yeah, she loves sleeping in between my legs.
Come on, John. This is now we're bordering here.
I don't mean.
Watch out, because Chaz may be listening, John. You could be arrested at any moment, a moment's notice here. Is that illegal? Is it illegal yet to sleep with a small dog in bed, John? Has that become a crime under the Terrorism Act of 1920?
Well, who knows, Doctor? I'm so worried about everything that's going on. I don't even want to go there because you're on a...
I know. Look, we all are. The truth is, it's a very pleasant call, and I wish I could shake your hand. Thank you for that. It's nice. It's nice. You want to talk about the drone? Or you want me to drone on and on about the drone? Because I will. I'll be right back.
Savage.
So America, those of us with a reasonable degree of intelligence are asking, how did Iran get an intact drone? Was it a double agent? And in the Air Force... instead of saying we're going to probe this, instead they're investigating a group of 15 airmen who dared pose with other airmen pretending to be dead and lying in an open casket with a noose around his neck. In other words, they're playing around. They're under a lot of stress. So a group of 15 airmen set up a stunt photograph of another airman pretending to be dead while lying in an open casket with a noose around his neck. And that gets the attention of so-called Air Force Secretary Michael Donnelly. And now they're going to investigate this behavior. The KGB is now fully engaged inside the U.S. Air Force. The new KGB is going to look into this photograph while doing nothing about the drone and what might be a double agent inside their ranks. This is what I'm talking about. It's not Alice in Wonderland. It's far worse. It's Obama in Washington, D.C. Virginia, Josh, your opinion, please. How did the drone go down? Your opinion.
I agree with you that it probably is the some smoke screen by the Iranian scientists to mislead, but more likely it's China or Russia helping Iran to deal a blow to us in a covert manner. They've been trying to steal our stealth technology in other fashion. They've created their own.
All right, wait, let's pause right there. So China or Russia have such advanced hackers that they could hack into the controller, take it over, and land it like a model airplane in Iran. What happened to the fail-safe mechanism, which is set to explode the drone if it goes off course or whatever?
Well, from my understanding, they jammed the drone so that it didn't know it was off course. It thought it was landing where it was supposed to, following a GPS signal, which was actually...
So our military is now that incompetent that a foreign agency can simply commandeer a drone and take it home?
I think in certain aspects they are.
Well, what else can they do? Can they take a warship like an aircraft carrier and put the captain to sleep and then sail it to China?
That might be a little bit harder, but...
why not? Why not? With a little, well, they can accuse the captain of being racist, for example, or sexist, or homophobic, and they can call him up on charges, and then they can give the aircraft carrier to China, because they're a far more diverse nation. How far is this going to go until the people wake up to the level of, okay, let's take your theory, that it was hacked by China or Russia through Iran. That's even worse then.
Yeah,
that means it's even worse than a double agent, because a double agent can be found out, arrested, tried, and executed. Okay? But if they're able to hack into our most advanced weapon, that means we're neutralized. We're neutralized as a nation.
Yeah, in this sector of technology, I think it's one aspect that...
John, could they hack... Josh, I'm sorry. Could they hack into a B-52 bomber on a mission and send it on another course? Can they hack into the computer controls of a Polaris submarine that's somewhere deep within the bowels of the ocean and direct it to fire a missile at the United States instead of and not fire at all? I mean, how far does this go?
Anything that's connected to the web, I think the U.S. should go back and rethink all access to it. I mean, we've already seen it happen to water systems. I think
So in other words, they can open up a dam and flood a valley. They can. What else can our enemies do to us? Anything they want? Because why? The government's so obsessed with worrying about people who are against abortion and returning military veterans and conservative talkers? Is that what they're worried about?
Savage.
Okay, let's talk about the most dangerous man on the planet. What if there is a man that has more money than anyone on the planet, and he gave away several billion dollars, and he's left-wing, pro-abortion, pro-euthanasia, pro-gay marriage, pro-drug legalization, pro-union, pro-big government-funded media, anti-faith, anti-death penalty, and as anti-conservative as you can possibly imagine? Well, you'd say that can't exist. Well, it does exist. His name is George Soros. He's known as the godfather of the left. He gave $550 million to liberal causes. Now, how can one man have accrued so much money and be on a campaign, a jihad, a crusade, a jihad and a crusade to crush freedom in America? In just 10 years, Soros has given more than $550 million to liberal organizations in the United States. But that total represents only 27% of the $2 billion given out by the American branches of his so-called Open Society foundations from 2000 to 2009. What do you think about that? How is that possible that one man can do this? Should that be legal? Well, you say, well, it's freedom. It's the free market. Is it? Is it a free market decision when a man can buy journalists the way corrupt individuals might buy a prostitute? Because any journalist who was owned by George Soros is probably far lower than a practitioner of the world's oldest profession, because at least they're doing it just for the money. How is this possible? This is a man, I'll get to repeat to you, far left, pro-abortion, pro-euthanasia, pro-gay marriage, pro-drug legalization, pro-union, pro-big government, pro-government-funded media, anti-faith, anti-death penalty, and as anti-conservative as they come, George Soros turned 81 and has decided that he wants the charity to continue long after his death. 80 different liberal groups have received $1 million or more from George Soros' charity in that time. Human Rights Watch, the Drug Policy Alliance, the Tides Foundation, National Public Radio, social justice initiatives, all are recipients of the left-wing's billionaires club, thanks entirely to George Soros. He is the sugar daddy of the legalization of the drug movement. This man is the most powerful man on earth. George Soros has more power than most sovereign nations. Although I cannot prove it, I was one of his first victims. I was targeted by Media Matters. I was targeted by, I believe, operatives within one of his umbrella organizations to smear me and ban me in England. But it didn't stop there at all. It just started there. And it's going to get much, much worse. Much worse than you could ever imagine. And I'd like to know what Congress can do about this. What can they do about it? Well, think about this. There's something wrong with Huxley's viewpoint and the one that Soros aspires to. According to an article in the on the Fox website, which is excellent, you have to have read Brave New World along with 1984 to understand what I am talking about. There are many parallels between Huxley's world and the one that Soros is running. Brave New World is all about that future, about a one-world government. Huxley wrote about it. The world state where drug use wasn't just legal, it was strongly encouraged by the government. Their population was restricted and citizens wore Malthusian belts with a ready supply of birth control for almost mandatory promiscuity. Abortions were performed, quote, in a lovely pink glass tower, and actual births were done in a lab under direct control of the powers that be, the Chazes of his imagination. Now, Brave New World was written as a satire of the other utopias envisioned at the time. Little did they know how close the world we now live in would approximate it. Religion in Huxley's world was one of the monstrous superstitions, confined only to savages, and positively a crime against society, replaced by a feel-good drug called Soma. Soma had all the advantages of Christianity and alcohol and none of their defects, according to Huxley. Soros criticized Huxley's work, but he has used it as a model for his charitable contributions. Pro-one-world government, pro-abortion, pro-government-controlled media, pro-drug, pro-euthanasia, and against everything that you believe in, everything that is good in family, everything that is good in faith, they hate. Imagine if one man had the power to read George Orwell's 1984 and had unlimited funds and try to make it happen. Well, that's what George Soros has done, only with another equally awful look into the future, according to Dan Gay Norris, the Boone Pickens Fellow in the Media Research Center's Vice President for Business Culture. He wrote for Fox News Opinion. It's an astonishingly important article. I only wish that there could be an investigation of John Corzine's lost $1.2 billion. I've been watching the John Corzine circus, where he says he doesn't know where the money went from MF Global. But I read last week that, curiously, George Soros had purchased the very debt that MF Global had unloaded at a very low price. In other words, MF Global bet on sovereign debt that collapsed in Europe. Well, someone bought it at its low point. That someone, they say, was George Soros. Are we going to believe that this man did this because he had no inside track, or that he wasn't fed this money, this tip, that the company was about to go bankrupt and he could buy it for pennies on the dollar? Are we actually that naive to believe this? You don't believe that one man can be this powerful, do you? You don't believe that one man and any one man can be more powerful than a nation. Well, I have news for you. There's a man who has more power than most sovereign nations, and his name is George Soros. And according to many of us, he's the godfather of the left. He gave $550 million to liberal causes. Now, what if there was a right-winger who funded one right-wing group after another? God only pray there would be someone like that. God only pray there was a man with this much money who was the opposite of this man who has such a deviant view of everything decent. Can you imagine if somebody had $1 billion or more, or $2 billion or more, and this man believed in the exact opposite? What if the man was against abortion, against euthanasia, against gay marriage, against the legalization of drugs, against unions, against the government funding media, against all those who attack churches? What if he was against all of those who were in favor, he was for the death penalty? And what if he was a believer in family values and he gave away billions of dollars? Do you think the left-wing vermin in the media would sit there and say that's fine, that's fair? I doubt it. I can guarantee you they'd be screaming for their friends in the administration to make this stop and say it's not fair and demand a diversity, demand the fairness doctrine. My friends, we're living in very dangerous times where men who are extraordinarily intelligent and extraordinarily anti-liberty now have accrued more power than ever before in American history. Now, what does this have to do with the drone? Nothing. Nothing so far as I can tell, although God only knows where tentacles begin and where tentacles end. Let me take your calls now on the Savage Nation. You can talk about the drone. You can talk about the godfather of the left. You can talk about anything you'd like on this show. It's your show. Let's go to Jim in Canada, who's listening on the web, I assume. Jim, thanks for calling the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. I just wanted to say how much I was impressed with your tasteful handling of your mom's memorial yesterday.
Did you listen to it on the web?
No, I didn't, sir. I just listened to it on the radio twice. I'm getting you out of WCRN Worcester, Mass.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, so you're up in eastern Canada.
Yeah, up in New Brunswick, near Quebec.
Beautiful area. My mother actually was from Canada. Do you know that? It's interesting. I never mentioned that.
My goodness, really? What part?
Montreal. In fact, I have very fond memories as a child of going to Montreal and visiting distant relatives who, unfortunately, I don't remember. But, Jim, I thank you very much for noticing that. That was very, very nice of you to call. Joe in Pittsburgh, PA, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Mike, the drone most likely went down by accident. But the decision not to destroy it, that was deliberate. You don't need spies if your enemy is going to fly their most sensitive secrets to your front door. When they said they fooled the drone down, you know, Sun Tzu said when you're strong, or rather when you're weak, pretend you're strong and vice versa. So I'm quite sure the Iranians are weak in this area, and it was an opportunity to claim credit for something they didn't do. But the real crime here is the decision not to destroy it.
Well, I don't know that you're right. I just want to ask myself, I ask one question. If Iran is coming up and saying they hacked into it, the Iranian engineer saying we hacked it and that we landed it, I think that it's very suspicious that he would give such an interview to the Christian Science Monitor so quickly. And I think it's only done because he's covering something up, such as a double agent.
That is, well, you know, I am on the inside, so That is unlikely, but I mean, it's always a possibility. But like I said,
Wait, hold on. I want to make sure I heard you. You said you are on the inside?
Yes.
And you would say that that's unlikely that there could be a double agent? Tell us why.
Well, I got to think about how much of this is unclassified. Those flights are completely recorded, and all the data is recorded. So if someone were to, they'll be able to figure out if it was full to the ground.
That's interesting. Very good. So in other words, every second of a flight, you see the digital counter clicking along like on any videotape, right, in a security camera, every second. And you can reverse engineer that, couldn't you, back into the mouse in the controller's hand, couldn't you?
If you want me to speculate, I think we've hastened the day of the start of the Third World War by handing our enemy all the stealth technology that went into that drone. So
Did you say that could be the start of the Third World War? What did you actually just say?
You've given them the technology they need to launch a stealth drone attack if you just want to look a few years down the road.
You mean if there was a double agent, he has given or she has given the enemy the ability to use our drones against us?
No. My first statement was you don't need a spy if the enemy, the U.S., is going to hand you one of their most sensitive pieces of equipment and not blow it up. You don't need a spy if your enemy is going to give you their equipment. That's better.
But why would you assume that the U.S. gave them the equipment and that there wasn't a double agent in the U.S.? You're not implying that this was done knowingly, are you?
No, what I'm saying is the most likely scenario is the drone went down by accident, but then the U.S. has the option of destroying that drone. So
yes.
Someone had to say, no, don't destroy it.
Why?
Well, because it's full of some of our most sensitive technology.
No, but why would the U.S. then not destroy it or blow it up with a fail-safe program in it to explode it? Why would they have left it intact? Let's assume your scenario is correct. It accidentally was flown into Iran. Why didn't they blow it up?
Well, I'm sure it wasn't accidentally flown in, that it was actively collecting intelligence. If I knew for a fact, I wouldn't be able to talk about it on the phone. So I'm speculating because I have no direct knowledge of that particular program. But typically we don't load drones up with explosives so we can blow them up if they do the wrong thing, because if they crashed, and every once in a while a drone does crash, the doggone thing might blow up over the U.S. So we typically don't preload our drones with explosives to destroy them if they accidentally land in enemy territory. However, okay. We do maintain the option of sending a missile or an aircraft after it to blow it up once it lands in enemy territory. So the enemy.
You're actually divulging. You're divulging for the first time in the media things that I didn't read anywhere. Many people were speculating in the media that it did have a fail-safe mechanism to be blown up. You're saying it didn't. You're also saying it would be typical to send in a chase plane, a fighter jet, to blow it up, and we didn't do that. So doesn't that lead us to a conclusion together, Joe?
Well, remember, Mike, if I knew for a fact that it did or didn't, I couldn't talk about it. So it is.
You'd also I understand that. By the way, Joe, is this a CIA operated program or is it Air Force?
Well, I couldn't talk about that either.
Okay. So what's your suspicion then?
I suspect it went down by accident, and I'm a little bit angry, a little bit confused as to why we didn't blow it up. And the only excuse for not blowing it up would be as if it landed on a hospital or in a girl's schoolyard.
It's not possible that we have a fellow traveler in the U.S. government who wanted Iran to have this?
That's conceivable, but most likely it was an inappreciation.
All right, well, hold on. So in other words, it's possible. I'm just saying within the realm of possibility. Aren't there counterintelligence programs within every department of the U.S. military to investigate these lines of thinking along the lines of what I'm suggesting? Are there investigations of this nature that are being conducted in your estimation?
Sure, I'm probably going to be investigated just for talking to you.
Well, of course you would be, because after all, how dare you talk to the American people instead of to another bureaucrat? But obviously you're calling the show and taking a risk because you think something's wrong here.
Well, I think what was wrong was not destroying the airplane, and the only possible excuse for not doing it is if it landed in a heavily populated area.
Very worrisome, because I actually think somebody in the U.S. government did this on purpose, and they did it specifically to placate Iran in order to tell Iran, let's not go to war with Iran. We mean you no harm. We're not going to help Israel. In fact, we're going to give you a weapon that can deter Israel. Is that a possibility, Joe?
It is, but if I was a gambling man, I'd bet that we were gathering information necessary to squash their nuclear program.
Well, if we were doing that, we certainly didn't achieve that. We achieved the opposite. They squashed our ability to squash their nuclear program. So they're laughing all the way to Mecca.
By not blowing out that drone, we have done done grave damage to ourselves.
Well, who's responsible? The Secretary of Defense?
I don't know who made the call, and like I said, I don't know the particulars of...
Well, Joe, that's right. No one knows anything because there's no congressional investigation. Instead, we're talking about 15 airmen posing with a casket and playing around with a noose, you know, in a little photo. That becomes the highest priority of the Air Force. Now, you watch, and mark my words, Joe, that's what the media is going to run with. They're going to make that the biggest story of the year, not the drone and who may have given it on a silver cloud to Iran. Joe, it's very frightening. Your call actually makes me more frightened than I was before the show. And, of course, I know if you are an operative of the government, every phone call you make is monitored. Isn't that correct?
I don't know the extent of the NSA's capabilities, but we're talking on the air, so I'm quite
all right. Well, you got a good sense of humor, and if millions more of you who worked for the government were to call radio shows, we might just save our freedoms from George Soros and his puppet government. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Deck the halls with boughs of holly, fa la 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 la. Tis the season to be jolly, fa la 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 la.
Yep, it's to the season to be jolly, ha 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 ha.
The ancient
drones are going down, the market's going down, government control is going up, but tis the season to be jolly. Let's go to the callers in the waning moments of this hour on the Savage Nation. Let's not say the late great Savage Nation, it's still functional. But God knows what tomorrow might bring in the new administration. Idaho Bill, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, I appreciate this privilege of talking to you. I lost my dad about a year ago. And the funny thing was, I never cried at his funeral. Because he had dementia and he was basically gone. His mind.
So what happened last night when you listened to the show? Did it open up a floodgate?
Goodness, you ain't kidding.
Well, good. I'm sorry to cut you off, which I don't mean to do, but as long as the show was a catharsis and enabled people to, I guess, feel something for the departed, I guess that was good, you know? Well, we learned today from a caller who alleges to be on the inside, and maybe he was, maybe he wasn't, that it's highly likely that the drone was basically flown to Iran, either through hacking or on purpose, but that it did not have a payload to be self-destroyed should it land inadvertently. But he was shocked, in his estimation, that the U.S. military did not send a chase plane with a rocket to destroy it once it was on the ground, which would lead us to the same conclusion. It was given to Iran on a silver cloud. See, it doesn't matter whether it was hacked and went to Iran, or if there's a double agent and it went to Iran, or there was a malfunction and it went to Iran. The U.S. government had the ability to blow it up once it went to Iran. But again, the very same conclusion in the loop. The loop comes back to the same conclusion. The loop is that there's someone working for the other team inside the U.S. military. Is it one person or is it many? Is it the head or is it the foot? I'll let you figure it out. We just know that Congress is not doing its job. They're busy investigating airmen in a photograph.
Savage. Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Well, the news across the landscape is pretty bad. The worst news, by the way, is that there's another debate tonight. That's even a worse news story than I could ever give you. Another debate in Iowa by Republicans again cutting each other to ribbons while Obama continues to get away with everything he gets away with. Do you have any idea what's actually going on while these senators and congressmen, whoever, are attacking each other, former governors? Do you know that the president now has the power to indefinitely detain any U.S. citizen without trial? Do you know who was for it? McCain, Levin, and Graham. Can you believe this? Graham, who I've never liked, says to those American citizens thinking they want to help al-Qaeda, and I agree with him on this, here is what awaits you, death, detention, persecution. When I say, and when you say, I want my lawyer, we'll tell them, shut up. You're an enemy combatant, and we're going to talk to you about why you joined al-Qaeda. That would be well and good if it was only about al-Qaeda. But the language in the bill could be broadened to include anyone the government says was helping al-Qaeda. What if you have an internet site that posts an Al Jazeera article that is deemed to be sympathetic to al-Qaeda when it isn't? Could they detain you, send you to Gitmo forever? It's frightening. Well, now, if you go to michaelsavage.com, it's frightening to see that the president himself asked for this extraordinary breach of the U.S. Constitution. That doesn't mean anything to you, though. You're a good Democrat. You're only following orders. What else is in the news? MichaelSavage.com. Corzine served papers during a break in the testimony. They actually served papers on him? That's nice. Iran is saying that they hacked and hijacked the U.S. drone. Why should I believe Iran? If they're telling us that they hacked and hijacked the drone, they're trying to cover up for somebody in the Air Force who sent them the drone. Isn't that how it works? I mean, I write novels, so forgive me for thinking around the generals. Also on MichaelSavage.com, top right, are you ready, Democrats? Are you ready, liberals? Here's my headline. Dems turn viciously anti-Semitic, and Jews still vote D? Huh. Go figure. Cows in Berkeley. Odious charges against Jews have been around since Henry Ford, and now they're coming from progressive Democrats. Obama can declare you a terrorist and detain you forever. There was a Muslim rampage in Belgium, killed many, wounded many more, and yet the Belgian government said it's not related to Islam. That's odd. A Muslim rampage in Belgium, hand grenades, machine guns, not related to Islam, though. Well, I guess you could say anything to people and get away with it if you're a politician. Is there a spy inside the U.S. Air Force drone program, I keep asking? Are Hollywood stars enabling sexual predators? Duh. Author of Stimulus linked to companies that helped. Shocking. Terrorist attack survivors outraged by White House guest. An Iraqi official tied to Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard welcomed in Obama's White House. I rest my case. Indiana corrupt Democratic Party leader quits amid fraud probe. Signatures on Obama and Clinton ballots allegedly were forged. Shocking. A Democrat forging signatures? Rahm Emanuel seeks big new powers to quell protesters. Well, why not? It's in the great tradition of Chicago, isn't it? Chirac, guilty of embezzlement, spared jail sentence. A French leader embezzling money? Impossible. Gunmen kill Christian couple in Mosul. Oh, do you care? Mosul has a Christian population that's dwindled from 120,000 to 5,000. Thank you very much. Thank you, Muslims. Thank you very much for your inclusiveness. And Obama officially ended the Iraq War. 4,500 U.S. soldiers and tens of thousands of Iraqis lost their lives. For what?
Unemployment has gone up precipitously since he took office.
That is simply not true.
Yes. In fact, unemployment has now dropped below 9%. It's continuing to drop. Yes. He's been focused on trying to...
But it's higher than when they promised that the stimulus would lower it to 8%.
See, that narrative doesn't work for you anymore, though, because when...
It's President not my narrative. I'm just talking about facts of where the unemployment numbers are.
You just said that the unemployment rate has been going up since you took office, and it hasn't.
Is unemployment higher now than when President Obama took office?
What's happened since President Obama took office?
Is unemployment higher than when he took office?
Unemployment is nearing right around where it was when President Obama took office, and it's dropping.
Okay.
You just said that it's been increasing, and that's not true.
Wow, you know how much that irritates me. Well, imagine how your throat will get this winter without Pine Brothers Softish Throat Drops. That's right. I'm talking about Pine Brothers Softish Throat Drops we all grew up with. They're back in natural honey and wild cherry flavors. Pine Brothers has been a trusted brand since 1870. Visit them on the web at pinebrothers.com. That's pinebrothersyum.com. Holder wants citizens automatically registered to vote. Does he mean in Mexico? Occupy mom places four-year-old son on train tracks to shut down a port. Well, she should be arrested for child endangerment, but you know what. China is set to tax U.S.-made car imports. That's interesting, but we have no such tariffs, huh? By the way, for a free Savage Nation newsletter, just sign up on michaelsavage.com. For entertainment, why are so many stars hooked on the trout pout, the protruding beak-like lips of Big Bird? Hell hath no fury. Well, read that story. Finally, on the bottom left of michaelsavage.com, from the New York Post, TV teaches the slut life. What have I been saying to you about what they're doing? From the vermin on one show to the other. They're dementing our children's minds. Andrea Piza has it exactly right. She says, from the sluts and hoes of MTV's Jersey Shore to the trailer trash stars of 16 and Pregnant to the extreme girl-on-girl emotional violence committed on TLC's innocuous sounding The Next Great Baker, a strange planetary shift is occurring. And what she's talking about is the abject sexualization and violence directed by and against young girls in many of these shows. It wasn't long ago that people contended that TV was simply a reflection of the modern culture. Not anymore. In fact, a groundbreaking study that has now united the left and the right was just released by the Television Council, examining the four highest-rated shows among girls 12 to 17, all of which are on MTV. More troublesome viewing. Jersey Shore, 16 and Pregnant, Teen Mom 2, and The Real World. Apparently, there seems to be a fetish of sex crimes against women, said Council President Tim Winter. Thank you very much. See if you could have an inroad on the degenerates who make these shows. I doubt it. Well, as ex-Senator Moynihan said, defining deviance downward. That's what we have now in the landscape, on the landscape of television. Of course, I know what you all care about, and that's coming soon. Sioux City, GOP candidates looking to close the deal in last chance Iowa debate, where once again Obama is the only winner. All this and more on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Out of all the reindeers, you know you're the mastermind. Run, run, Rudolph. Randolph ain't too far behind.
A CME auditor also participated in a phone call with senior MF Global employees, wherein one employee indicated that Mr. Corzine knew about the loans that had made for the customer segregated from the customer segregated accounts.
What have you been longing for? All I want for Christmas is a rock and roll electric guitar. And then away went Rudolph, whizzing like a shooting.
After I testified on Tuesday, Mr. Duffy of the CME suggested he recently learned that someone heard someone else say that they understood that I knew the customer funds may have been improperly loaned to the MF Global affiliate in Europe during the last days of the firm's operation. I don't know the source of the suggestion. Let me be clear. While the last few days of MF Global were chaotic, I did not instruct anyone to lend customer funds to MF Global or any of its affiliates, nor was I told that anyone had done so.
Sacramento, California. Elaine, topic, please. Go ahead.
I got just a portion of your talk about olive oil tests the other day.
Yeah.
And I thought it was fascinating. Could you repeat?
Yes, an article came out saying that most imported Italian olive oil is adulterated. Are you surprised after watching The Sopranos?
I was surprised to hear you say it.
Well, my joke was anything that has to call itself extra virgin unto itself is an oxymoron. Either you're a virgin or you're not. How could you be an extra virgin?
True. I enjoyed that part.
No, but having said that, it turns out that much of the oil is mixed with other oils, number one. But worse yet, the Italians, some of the unscrupulous ones, are taking rancid olive oil, somehow fracturing it and taking out the rancidity and then reflavoring it, and then diluting the olive oil with that stuff. There's a good note, though, which is that most California olive oils that are labeled extra virgin are absolutely 100% extra virgin olive oil.
That's great.
That's something you should know. And see, I generally use Spanish olive oil myself, and I find the taste interesting because it's a lower acidity. And I mentioned this once on the show. I go to a certain Basque restaurant in San Rafael, California, right? So I went there about a month ago, and some fellas who grow olives left me some oil. I don't remember the brand. I have to say I'm sorry, but they're Basque men who started an olive oil company. I tried it last night. It was delicious. I dipped bread in it. Whether it's, I'm sure it's California oil, so it must be 100%. That's the whole story. And there's one other brand they said, I forget, Kirkland olive oil from Costco, turned out to be 100% Italian extra virgin, if there are any left in Italy. If there are any extra virgins left in Italy, it's all in the Kirkland cans. How could you have an oxymoronic statement? I never understood that, because for years I was buying olive oil. I grew up in New York, so we bought these little bottles of olive oil. It was good enough for me. Who knew the difference? But like everything else, it started to become a big deal. Everything became a big deal, and there were varieties within the varieties of the varieties. Olive oil was olive oil to me. I didn't know the difference. And my mother used olive oil very rarely. She used something else. Who knows? Then cooking oil was probably poison. Planter's oil. I don't know. So the olive oil. Then along came virgin olive oil. Then came along extra virgin olive oil. So what's extra virgin olive oil? Extra, read all about it. Nothing. The answer is it's all adulterated, according to the study. So, you know, buyer beware, caveat emptor, whatever. In other words, there's a sucker born every minute. That's all. It's like green energy. Extra virgin olive oil is equivalent of green energy, in other words. If you believe Al Gore, you can believe in extra virgin olive oil. I'm not telling you to go back to Crisco. Or start, you know, cooking with rendered fat. But, I mean, for God's sakes, who do you believe anymore? Everything is this and that. I mean, we have an adulterated presidency, so what do you expect in the olive oil? If you have a presidency that's adulterated, what can you expect in a bottle of olive oil? So I hope there's no third-party run, personally. Now, Bachman wasn't going to debate either. And who else was it? No one was going to debate. It was Gingrich and someone else. Who knows? Look, it's a sad time in American history that we have such a tepid Republican group out there. But, you know, what do you expect? These are career politicians that are out there. We all loved Kane, and then he imploded. They destroyed him, and he destroyed himself. You know, I mean, he made it easy for them to take him down. That's the sad truth. Let's say he wasn't qualified anyway, but he would have been a good president in some ways because he was an independent, and God knows he probably wouldn't have gotten anything done. To be honest with you, you know, it's not good enough to just have ideas as a politician, which is why I would be the world's worst politician. I want to read a section from Abuse of Power, because many of you have been asking me to read my favorite pieces of the book, what I like the best. And let's see, what do I like the best? I like the fact that my character, Jack, has Asperger's syndrome, a mild case of it. And when he gets, you know, he's an action figure. He's a very good action figure, but he's got a flaw, if you want to call it a flaw. I don't know that it is a flaw. I think that most people are really flawed. In fact, anyone I've ever met is flawed. I know I'm flawed. And the only people who are not flawed are fake people, characters in movies and books who are not flawed. But real people all have flaws, no matter how tough a man may be. Somewhere within inside of him, there's a soft spot or a weak spot, and they have to learn how to deal with it. So in my case, I've created a character, Jack, who has a mild case of Asperger's. And when he gets very stressed out, he withdraws to a secret apartment that he has in San Francisco where he works on clocks because his father had been a clockmaker and he learned how to fix watches. And listening to ticking of clocks calms him down. I think that's a beautiful, beautiful part of the book. I'm surprised no one's ever seen that part of it. And so here it is. Let's see. So Jack goes to his secret apartment. Jack thought of his apartment on Union Street as his fortress of solitude. The only people who knew he owned it were his real estate broker and his former wife, and he wanted to keep it that way. A 22-story, 60s-era complex right off the Embarcadero was just a block from the bay. You could elude a rampaging army in this place. One day he'd be smiling and winking at one Norwegian child in a stroller in the elevator. The next he'd be chatting with a businessman from Tokyo. He loved the anonymity of the apartment building. The view from his window was spectacular. Spectacular. Facing north, it looked out across the bay and just beyond the Richmond Bridge. You could see the East Brother Light Station, a small island lighthouse that had been in operation for over 133 years. Let me pause right there. My novel takes place in San Francisco Bay, in San Francisco. Streets of San Francisco, on the Bay of San Francisco, and has scenery that it's not yet been seen in books, ever. Do you know that this book has not been mentioned once in one media outlet in San Francisco? You'd think that even though my politics are different from those of the statists and the communists, they would have to celebrate such a novel after 6 weeks on the New York Times bestseller list. And yet to show you how low their minds are, they haven't even noted that the book exists. It hasn't stopped me from making it into a bestseller, has it? And yet this book will better describe San Francisco Bay than almost anyone has ever done. Isn't that amazing? So here's a character who lives on a yacht on San Francisco Bay. Many scenes are set in San Francisco Bay and in the streets of San Francisco, yet not one note anywhere in the media in the Bay Area. Shows you how left-wingers operate.
Savage.
You know, the Savage Nation's ratings, its popularity and success is stronger than ever right across America. I'm number two in the entire landscape on the internet, and my show on radio is bigger than ever. But what's even more amazing is how strong my audience is in the belly of the beast in San Francisco. That's right. San Francisco, where it all started 17 years ago. With me now on the Savage Nation to talk about this is San Francisco media reporter Rich Lieberman. Rich, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Michael, it's great to speak with you again. Thanks for having me on.
Well, now that the big talk station is gone in San Francisco, what do you think my impact has been in talk radio in San Francisco over the last 17 years?
Well, I think it's been tremendous and quite insightful and impactful. I actually listen to you out of the Sacramento station, 650 AM, and I know it's a real clear channel in that area around the Central Valley and into some of the suburbs. So while you're not heard here in the Bay Area, we do have an outlet for you, of course, in the Sacramento area. Obviously, we can hear you online at many of the stations, including the Las Vegas station. But over the general airwaves, we do have you, fortunately, in the Sacramento station. So we're not completely devoid of the Michael Savage program. I think that you definitely struck a chord. Nobody had to agree 100% with your politics, Mike. Definitely a very viable audience, an audience, by and large, misconstrued by lots of the press here in the Bay Area. Not so much conservative, but I would even say progressive in a sort of different way. You brought a different element to talk shows and to civil discourse and so forth, humorous and interesting and provocative. And I have a feeling that there's tons and tons of people who, like myself, didn't necessarily agree with you 100% of the time, but nonetheless found you engaging and quite interesting and provocative. And politics, certainly a focus of it, but that really didn't have much to do about it. But yet quite a distinction. And we miss that here. And I'm not the only one. I think there's lots of people who who miss that void because I think that you are interesting. You don't have to agree with everything you say, but I love the way you say it, and I love the way you do it, and even when you overdo it.
Well, how do you think I've achieved such great, you know, impact in such a liberal area?
Well, I think what you do sort of transcends politics. I'm not putting you on a pedestal, but I guess in a sense, maybe metaphorically speaking, I am, because you do a different type of program. It's not the same repetition, the same talking points day in and day out. I frankly, and that's a problem with sometimes with conservative hosts, is that they just do the same Republican GOP talking points day in and day out. And it's not boring. Even if I agreed with a lot of what they were saying, if I'm hearing the same stuff over and over. And Michael, while again, I disagree with a lot of what you say, I love the way you say it, and it's entertaining. I wish some progressive, quote unquote, liberal, quote unquote, hosts have the same gumption and notions that you do, to where you make it transcend politics. And I'm not just talking about Teddy and the best Chinese food and your Italian pasta stories and all that. But that's the heart of it. You just make it interesting, and we need to hear you here in the Bay Area, in the San Francisco Bay Area. We have to work on that because you bring a very funny and interesting and provocative piece of content, and we need to get you back here.
What do you think I represent, Michael Savage, to people in San Francisco and across the country?
Well, I think, Michael, what you bring to the table is humor and irreverence and sort of a unique take, even if one does not have the feelings politically that you deliver. We still feel you bring a passion to what you believe in. I know a lot of people think it's shtick, but a lot of it isn't shtick. And I know you might have a little twinkle in your eye, Michael, but we listen to it. We miss it. We love your stories about your dog. I love hearing you talk about pasta dinners and Chinese restaurant and your diet and Teddy, and all of that encompasses terrific listening and content that is unique to the fullest. If I sound like I'm one of your PR boys, it's not the case. You have not paid me to say this. I feel delightful, and I feel honored to be on your program, as I have in the past. I tell people who criticize me, how dare I be on the Michael Savage show because of what he says and what he represents, and I tell them, look, hey, if I can reach out to a believer who may not have certain things and political ideals that I believe in, but who allows me on the program, I can listen to Michael while we can disagree. I find him entertaining and funny and humor, full of humor and provocative, and he makes me tune in. And I'm sorry that you and your company left the Bay Area, and again, I know you're up and very viable in Sacramento and in New York and in some of the big markets, but we have to get you back here. I'm not the only guy who believes that, and woman. I know you have a lot of fans across the spectrum, across the age spectrum, the political spectrum. I think you're a cultural asset. I enjoy your work, and I want to see you back in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Rich, what direction do you actually think political radio is going in these days?
Well, unfortunately or fortunately, depending upon what you believe and how you believe, the big news talk station suddenly just switched formats. And there is a heavy-duty amount of conservative, quote-unquote, talk. There is a quote, liberal station in town, but their future is kind of unknown at this point. So I think if you wanted to describe the current radio climate here, it's probably much like across the nation now, where you don't have many progressive voices, but conservative radio dominates the radio arena here, the broadcast arena. But I would, again, as I said earlier, I would place your show kind of transcending politics. I think it's as much of a cultural show as it is a political show. And that's why I think that you stick. That's why I think that even so-called progressives and quiet—I'll call it the quiet conservatives, or the people that are conservative but act like liberals here—secretly love to listen to your program, and you can put me into that category.
Where can we read more?
Well, Michael, the easiest way of finding me is just to Google Rich Lieberman. That's L-I-E-B-E-R-M-A-N. 415-MEDIAN, and 415 stands for the area code, San Francisco. But if they just Google 415-MEDIA and put Rich Lieberman into their Google search, then they'll find my blog. And I talk about and write about mostly everything, not just radio, but television and internet culture and issues of the day and beyond and trends and things like that. So that's how your listeners can get a hold of my site.
Rich Lieberman, good luck, and thanks for being with us on the Savage Nation.
Michael, it was great talking with you. Thanks for having me on.
I'm Michael Savage. We'll be right back.
Savage.
I'll have a blue Christmas without you. I'll be so blue thinking about you. Decorations of red.
Listen to this one.
As I look around, I see a whole bunch of good friends. We can't wait to give you a hug and a kiss and wish you a happy holiday. The guys with whiskers, I won't give you a kiss.
So that's what he says to Orthodox Jewish rabbis. The guys with whiskers, I won't give you a kiss. It's cute. Would he say that to Muslims with full beards? Kind of doubt it. I kind of doubt that. I don't know. I can't imagine guys with whiskers who pray to Allah would get a kick out of that one. I get a kick out of you. I'm tired of Gingrich already. I wish he'd just go back to lobbying and leave me alone already. I'd like the election to come around. I'm sick of this already. Let me just have the election of Romney versus Obama already. That's all. Let's get it over with. Let's stop with all these clowns and these imposters. It's like Sesame Street. It's like the Muppets touring America. All the Muppets touring America. Me, 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 999. Yes, yes, yes. You can do it. It's unbelievable to me. Why are the Democrats not fighting with each other, ripping Obama apart? Because they're smarter. There should be a primary. See, if there was a mutual primary, a concurrent primary at the same time, where Democrats were attacking Obama every day with the things he has done, I would say, fine, but it isn't. That's all. What else is in the news? Everything and nothing. Everything and nothing. I'll talk about anything in this hour except olive oil. Wisconsin, Diane, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage. Thank you. I wanted to get through so many times. I could sit
here. All right, here please. I don't want to be rude, but Diane, what is your main point? Come on, what is it?
Oh, I just wanted to say thank you, first of all, for the story about Hanukkah, because I had
You're
never
welcome.
Heard that before.
You never heard that before.
No,
I'm a great spiritual teacher when I want to be. And that spiritual story will spread like it should throughout the world, because that's a universal story I told. It doesn't limit itself to Jewish people. There's no limit to the people who can be inspired by such a story. So if I really wanted to go the road of spirituality, I could do it. Instead, I choose to sit here as a curmudgeon on the conservative bandwaves. And work in religion whenever it's necessary. And I think it's necessary today because when I see Obama kind of making a joke out of a religious holiday, I think, okay, come on. If I were asked to give a story about it, I gave it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Thanks. Fault nor my screener's fault. Here's the problem. I'm so gifted at conversationalism that when people talk to me on the radio, they think they know me and they think that they're talking to a friend, as it should be. And then no one's listening. So they mumble. They mumble to themselves like in a room with a kerchief on somewhere having a Sanka. They don't realize it's 8-10 million and whatever people. And then it's a national show. They're sitting there in a house coat with a Sanka alone. And I'm glad you could. In the Hanukkah. What? I didn't want to just say, what's that about? She didn't mean anything by it, but the call screener couldn't catch her in time. It's a strange business, radio. It's like having a party line with like 90 phones on at once. Oh, okay. I'm a little exhausted. This has been a hard week. This has been a long day's journey. Sometimes I do things to prove things to myself that I can do them. I haven't missed a show all week. Have you noticed that? I have every reason to miss a show. And then I have no reason to miss a show. I don't need to rest. There's nothing out there. I've discovered there's nothing out there outside of radio. There is no life after radio. None. Just ask the talk show hosts who've lost their jobs in San Francisco, especially the guy who used to do the dining show. Imagine the shock when he has to go in and pay for his meal in Napa. Oh, the first day that guy has to pay for his own cannoli could put him into the coffin. God forbid. He's a very nice guy, if I remember correctly. But he had a show on restaurants and dining. I don't think the guy paid a nickel for the last 10 years for a meal anywhere. From Napa to San Jose, the guy came. They knew they were going to get it was a fresco coming. It wasn't al fresco, it was al fresco. He was dining al fresco, not al... His guy was dining al fresco for so long, so now the show is over. He thinks that they're going to continue to do it because he's such a great guy with his entourage. All right, the day he has to pay for that cannoli, I can guarantee you, they call 911. I hope not. He's a very nice guy. The last I saw him 10 years ago. Where's Bernie Ward? Is he still in prison? Does anyone know? They closed down the station. He was, I know, I'm joking. Is he listening to me? Bernie! Bernie, how are you? This is for my Bay Area audience. There was a talk show host here who was the most vile left-winger that God had ever made. He's he's along the lines of what you see on MSNBC, only they're worse than him. He attacked God and church and family. He was an ex-priest who hated the Catholic Church. On and on he went. They caught him with downloading child porn. We're not talking about child porn. A guy had beautiful children. I don't want to relive it. It was pretty disgusting. The email chain of what he was fantasizing with his own daughter was so disgusting. They locked him away for 8.5, 9 years somewhere. Where was it? Tennessee? I don't know. Oklahoma. So he probably in his mind figured when he came out, ML would give him a job again. Little did he know that ML went already over the River Styx. They sent him out. See, there's no one. Now there's no station. No one will hire this guy. What can he do after this? I guess he could get a job as a Santa. That's a lot of Santas do that. He could do balloon parties like Howard Stern does probably in his spare time. He could like take balloons and make figures out of them, dressed up as a clown, and make filthy images out of balloons, the balloon man. I don't know, man. It's a hard world out there. Why should I make a mockery of other people? Answer, because they deserve it, because they're so sickening. Sickening. They get me sick. I don't know about you. I actually get angry when I see guys like Alec Baldwin. I actually hate him. Not just what he did on the plane. I hate the man's face. Some faces, I don't mind a person's a liberal, doesn't bother me. That's the way they are. But some of them, these Hollywood people, are so arrogant and disgusting. I don't know how they make a living. Like when I see Alec Baldwin's face, I get physically ill. I hate him so much because of what he said to his daughter and how evil he is. Man said, maybe I'll be mayor. Remember about a year ago? Maybe I'll be mayor. These guys are so arrogant, they think they could be anything. Little they know this, the ugly fat guys who write their scripts and, you know what I'm saying, who make them who they are. There's another one, Larry David. The worst man on the planet is Larry David. One of the most radical psychos on the planet, Larry David. Fake from top to bottom, a Brooklyn faker. And very big right now. Why? Because he did that movie. What was that show they did with that other actor? What's his name? Seinfeld. I never liked Seinfeld. I never saw what people saw in it. I don't understand it. What's so funny? With the canned laughter. I took a toothbrush and I put it in my sock. I don't understand it. I never thought Seinfeld was funny. There are comedians who are funny. He was not a funny guy. I'll tell you who is funny. You want to know who is funny? Seinfeld is not funny. I'll tell you who is funny. I forgot his name, but he's funny. His father's a comedian. What's his name? Come on. His father's doing a lot of... Stiller's funny. Ben Stiller, I don't care if he's a communist, he's funny. His father is funny. They're naturally funny people. Seinfeld is not funny at all. I don't care how much money he made. He's not funny. Who's funny at all anymore? Who's funny? What's funny? What is funny? Funny, you're funny. What do you mean funny? Funny. What's funny? Funny. Let's have some funny, honey. Honey, let's have some funny. Let's have funny, honey. Let me look at the Christmas songs now on this Major League radio show. Do you know that every actor in Hollywood would love to have a radio show like I do? Do you have any idea what they'd pay to get up here and talk for 3 hours a day? They'd last about 3 minutes. They'd last one show and then quit. Forget their ratings. Nobody could understand how hard this is to do. But with me already, it's a second nature. I don't have to tell you. This is a second nature for me talking on the radio. I speak as naturally to you as I would to someone in person. And many of you think that I'm in the room with you, or in the car with you, or in the prison cell with you, or in the mental hospital with you, or deep within the entrails of the Department of Homeland Security, or deep within the entrails of the FBI where the monitors are listening, or deep within naval intelligence, since instead of monitoring the Chinese Navy, they're monitoring radio shows. You know, that's what they do. Instead of monitoring the Chinese naval maneuvers, they're monitoring what conservatives are saying on the radio. They have nothing else. It's unbelievable to me why they waste their time on a natural man like me, a natural American. California to convert prison from women to men. Guess they need more prisons for men than they do for women. California to convert prison from women to men. Chowchilla. California will convert a Central Valley Women's Prison, a facility for low and medium security male inmates, as part of a sweeping statewide plan to send lower-level criminals to local jails instead of state lockups. This means the Valley State Prison for Women will no longer be needed to hold nearly 3,200 inmates. Currently, where are they going? Many women meet the requirements to serve their time locally, reducing the number of female state inmates nearly 40% next 8 months. So they're, in California, the budget's so screwed up, they're releasing prisoners. The prison industry grew so fast that the state is releasing the prisoners as fast as they're putting them in jail. You know what I'm saying? In other words, it's like a revolving door. It's not, I don't know where they're going to all go. How many of them could go to work for the government? How many of them can Jerry Brown hire? There aren't that many state jobs that are... Oh, God, what else is in the news? SF rally, Occupy this. Nothing in the news. Nothing in the news. No, there's nothing in the news. There's so much news, it's frightening.
Savage.